Today we're going to be talking about how to sorrow. We're going to think through briefly the stages of grief. We're going to really look at the broader sense of what the Bible says about suffering and what the Bible says about the grief process. Let's begin in a word of prayer. I didn't introduce myself. I'm Kevin Carson. I have the privilege of serving Christ as pastor of a church in Ozark, Missouri, Sunrise Baptist, as well as I'm the department chair of counseling at Baptist Bible College and Theological Seminary. And I have the privilege of teaching here in this master's program, which is a great program for those of you who need a distance program or an adult learner. It's a great program for you to consider as well. So it's a pleasure to be with you. I look around this room and many, many, many of you are my friends. So it's just like talking with just a group of friends here. So I trust it will be a blessing to you. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we approach a topic that no doubt is personal to probably every person in the room. There's a sense in which we all have walked down this road of grief. Some of us down the road, and it's taken turns and angles that have been rough and have been hard. Others, possibly only through observation. But whatever it is, we know for sure that unless your son comes back, we'll all face this road at some point. So this morning we pray that you would give us not just an appropriate sobriety for the topic, but also, and more importantly, hope in Christ. We love you and thank you for these dear friends. Pray that this will bless them both now and as they seek to do ministry to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Grief invaded my life. Right, I was not looking for grief. My wife and I had been married for 5 years and in the process had made our plans in our pre-marriage counseling. They had had us fill out this form and tell us what your plans are, and we did it in 5-year increments. And we had talked about we're going to have our first child at 5 years and then we've had them planned out after that, and we're going to have this number of children. And we had this nice plan and we were kind of working our plan. I was a pastor in a church. We were in ministry. Things were going well. We tried to get pregnant, and she immediately got pregnant. Everything was fine until it wasn't. Right? Until along the way, we went for our first ultrasound, and they said they really didn't know what was wrong. They sent us to a specialist. This was 20 years ago. They sent us to a specialist, and at the specialist, they said, well, my wife had a tumor of the placenta. They said, well, this is really rare, doesn't happen very often. This is the course that we expect to take place. And that course meant that we were probably going to have a baby that was very sick, but we should have a baby and they should be able to help her. Well, the tumor grew and it grew fast. And in the process, we had a little girl. Her name's Kayla. She was born several weeks early. She did well. She was sick, as they said, and it was a long process. But in the midst of going through everything, she developed an infection, and it attacked her kidney, and she lived only a few more weeks. And so we had all of these hopes and dreams, and we had this sweet, precious little girl, and then weeks later, we didn't. Right? And grief invades when it's not invited. Right? We weren't looking for a drama. We weren't looking for years of trying to work through it. In God's providence, I had been teaching through and was pretty much finished with the book of Ecclesiastes. I'd actually worked through the entire book and translated it from Hebrew to English, and then from English to teaching notes, and from teaching notes had done an entire series on it. And so I'd been living in Ecclesiastes. So as we walk through this process of finding out about the tumor and then all the complications with the baby and with my wife's health and then the intensive care unit for Kelly and then the intensive care unit for the baby and then ultimately death. In that process, I had been working in my own mind through the stuff that I learned from the book of Ecclesiastes, which is just a powerful book. But my wife had not had that same experience. She may have listened in some of the lessons I taught. I'm not 100% sure if she had or not. The reality is she hadn't spent hours and hours and days and weeks thinking about life and life's dilemmas as I had through Ecclesiastes. And so her experience of grief is much different than my experience of grief. Her experience looks and feels and is a total different path. And so how do we even work through those different paths that we get on, right? There's a lot of questions as it relates to suffering and as it relates to our own personal journey in suffering. And we're going to just briefly touch on those because I think it's important for us to think, yes, how the world suffers. And we'll talk about this in a minute. But the broader sense is, how does the Bible help us? Grief is a part of suffering. And we experience all suffering as death. I appreciate what Walter Wangren said in Mourning Into Dancing. He said, death doesn't wait till the end of our lives to meet us and to make an end. Instead, we die 100 times before we die. And all the little endings on the way are like a slowly growing echo of the final bang before the bang takes place. And I've always been impressed with that statement because really in many ways, all of those things do are just moments of death. They're moments of the future. And so as we suffer, things do die. And we're in a world full of death. And we're in a world that is dark. Let me commend a book for you. It's not here, but I think it's in the bookstore. And I would encourage you to get it. It's called God's Healing for Life's Losses. It's by Bob Kellerman. Bob is also here in the program in their seminary. It's a great book. It's one of the grief share books. And I would encourage you to take some time to read it for your own benefit and then possibly for the benefit of others. This is what we know. All people suffer. And all people grieve. And so as a believer, as biblical counselors specifically, when we understand that everybody goes through this together, the question we have to ask is then how does the world suffer and how should the Christian grieve? Is there a sense of difference between the two? Remember Dr. Bob Smith, what drove him to biblical counseling, if you remember his story, is that he said he would often go in as a doctor and tell a Christian that they had terminal cancer, they had some kind of significant chronic problem, and as he would share that information, he could not see a discernible difference between the way a Christian responded and the way a non-Christian responded. And so as he tells that testimony, I think in my experience, and now only just 20-something years, but I would say that that's probably my observation as well, that lots of Christians respond very similar to the way the world responds. But yet Paul writes this, notice, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope." If the world sorrows one way, we know they have no hope. And what Paul is saying, he doesn't want us to be ignorant because he doesn't want us to sorrow as they sorrow. And so in that sense, we want to think through it this morning. We live between both realities of John 16:33, where Jesus, when he's talking to his disciples right before he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, which of course would be the last stop he makes before he goes to his trial and ultimately his death. He says, one of the last things he says is, "In this world you will have trouble." We live between that statement of Jesus and the forward statement in Revelation 21:4 when it tells us that he will wipe away all tears and that he will get rid of death. And we are in that between stage. And so in the process of that between stage, we want to be challenged as biblical counselors to think right. But the greater goal, of course, is for us to walk through this journey with other people. So let's start with this question. How does the world grieve? Well, typically, the world thinks about grieving through the 5 stages of grief. They're proposed by Kubler-Ross back in the 60s. She's written a couple of books since then. But the 5 stages of grief, just to briefly remind you, the first one is denial. In the denial stage, typically someone is numb. They will deny the reality of what's taking place. So she was working with terminally ill patients. So it might be the person who says, "Well, you know, I'm sure they've got the test confused. They've given me somebody else's results. This can't be happening to me." It's that sense of how can this be happening? When we hear of the death of a particular individual, often someone will describe that period as that they're just numb. It's almost like, almost you could say it's a God-given mechanism at some level of mercy to help us get all of our senses together.